Matthew suggests to us that the kingdom of heaven is like delay. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The parable that we heard this morning ends with the appeal for vigilance, for staying awake. A friend of mine tells a story about Cambridge, University of Cambridge, running around late into the night with some friends, some of whom were seminarians at an Anglo-Catholic seminary there, and they were sort of still out having a good time around Cambridge when the sun started to come up, and one of them suddenly remembered, oh no, I've got to say morning prayers. So the group of them hurries on back to the chapel. And some of his friends who are still, you know, more or less coherent are suggesting to him that maybe might be a good day for a sub, might be a good day to forget. He says, no, I can do this. I can do this. I've committed to this. I can do this. In this particular chapel, seats are against the wall, sort of monastic style, wooden seats against the wall. And the concern was growing among the friends as morning prayer went on that what looked maybe like an increase of piety, you know, he's just the student who was saying morning prayer just kind of kept leaning farther and farther forward, just bowing, you know, more into a deeper genuflection as the as morning prayers went on, and until he came to that line from the epistle, "Be sober, be vigilant." And those four words were the end of morning prayer, because at that point he just toppled face forward onto the tile in front of him. At that point, he was, I'm afraid, neither sober nor vigilant. The New Testament's appeal for vigilance, for staying awake, is sometimes a bit of a push for us. I won't say anything about the sobriety element. We'll leave that one aside for another day. But the appeal to stay awake, it's an odd one actually in this parable, and I'll come back in a moment to why something sort of unsettling about the appeal to stay awake as we find it in this parable. But here we get the parable of the bridesmaids who go out to meet the bridegroom, the whole group of them. The five foolish and the five wise. The hinge of the parable, the thing that sort of motivates the action in the parable, is the delay of the bridegroom. It's an interesting word there. It shows up in the parable just before, the parable of the selfish servant. This is the one who is put in charge of the vineyard, the master's vineyard. But then when the master is delayed, there's the word, when the master is delayed, says, well then I'll do this my own way, and begins to abuse the power that's been bestowed to him. It's a slightly different kind of delay that happens here. It's the same, you know, the bridegroom is delayed, stays away, but the parable is doing something else here. Nobody's sort of abusing power or being naughty in this parable. There's just there's a lack of attention, which is what this parable seems to be getting at. Matthew handles this issue of delay differently than John's gospel does. John's gospel talks to us about why there's a sort of delay period written into the rhythm of the Christian gospel. It's got to do something with these images of seeds germinating and growing. Love and truth, these two great themes of John's gospel, are themes that have to grow within us and within the community. Matthew is not so concerned about the theological motivation for delay as he is about asking us what we're doing in the time of delay, in the time of this, in the time of waiting. It's an interesting word. The term that's used in both these parables, both the parable of the wicked servant and the parable of the bridesmaids, comes from chronos, chronizo. And the English translation that we heard today doesn't quite capture an element of it. We heard the bridegroom was delayed. And in the previous parable, had we heard that, it was the master was delayed, seeing that the master was delayed. That's a passive construction. In the Greek, it's an active construction. It's an active participle, which is very interesting. It suggests that there's this element of delay, but it's also there's an agency to the one who's staying away. And the chronos word is very interesting in there too. It's almost as if what we're getting is the bridegroom is holding back the time of his arrival. It's not just like, oh, he got caught up in something. Somebody accosted him on the way, or he lost his keys or something like that. It's not just the passivity of is delayed. It's an active agency. He's holding back. He's staying back. And again, Matthew is not so interested in why. He's not doing what John's doing and saying, it's good that I go away and stay away. He's not doing what John does. He's doing something a bit different. He's saying, okay, so there is delay. Here we are, standing around, burning the lamps late at night. How do we do that? How do we do that well? This is Matthew's concern. The bridegroom is delayed. The bridegroom stays away. The bridegroom holds back the time. The image that the psalm gives us of creation, I think, is an interesting one to play with here. Not just because of the way they're arranged liturgically, but because of something that Matthew's doing throughout his gospel. You remember that all throughout Matthew's gospel, he's concerned with the way that the Jesus story, from prior to the birth narratives, the character of John, the birth narrative as he gives it, all the visit of the Magi, all of this happens to fulfill prophecy, he says. Matthew is constantly linking back into the language, the hymns, the words of the prophets. It's as if what he's doing is saying, remember the waiting that Israel was about. Remember the waiting that the prophets spoke of. Well, now that waiting period is over. Remember this long period of what felt like absence of God's promises to us. Actually, it wasn't absence. It was more like gestation. Because now the virgin is with child, and the thing that we're waiting for has come. Except that when Jesus grows up, what we find in Matthew's gospel is that cycle repeats itself. So it's not as if Jesus says, okay, the waiting, the delay, that's all over with. I'm here. He says, I am here. I have come to fulfill those prophecies, and now it's time for the waiting to begin again. And again, Matthew's not terribly instructive about why. How is this working out theologically? He's just saying, and here we go. We're going to we thought we were done being Israel waiting for the coming of the Messiah. Turns out we're not. There's this whole second coming element. And what we do with that is Matthew's deepest worry, deepest concern as a gospel writer, I think. What do we do with this period of waiting that we now find ourselves in? The bridegroom is holding back the time. And again, there are two, the parables that are paired here give us two unhealthy ways of responding to this time of waiting. We can respond to this time of waiting as those wicked servants responded and saying, I do not see the great, you know, the master of the vineyard returning. Or to switch to the metaphor from today's parable, I don't see the wedding feast. I don't see creation experiencing deep reconciliation with its creator. So we can respond to that by simply saying maybe it's not going to happen. Maybe the period of waiting is now over and there's nothing to wait for. Maybe we take over the vineyard. The way that the parable gives it to us today is these bridesmaids are not so much assuming that the bridegroom isn't coming. It's just that they never anticipated the delay. the problem with the foolish bridesmaids is that they never anticipated the delay. They did not come prepared for the delay. On the one hand, you have servants who say, I see no reason to hope for a reconciliation of creator and creation around me. On the other hand, you have bridesmaids who say, if I don't see it right now, I don't know what to do. And then you have the example of the wise bridesmaids. I said that there's something odd about this, the way that this parable ends. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. What's odd about that injunction is in verse 5. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. The wise bridesmaids fall asleep. Jesus comes to the end of the parable and he says, so therefore stay awake. The question that raises for me is, how were they being wise? They fell asleep, but it's just as if for Jesus they fell asleep in a way that remained awake. They stayed vigilant, even as they slept. What I think this suggests is that it wasn't a kind of hypervigilance of I'm going to focus on the event, this sort of great reconciliation event that must happen now, or I don't know what to do. The way that they stay awake is they come with provisions. They fall asleep, but with flasks of oil at their side. This is their vigilance. They came prepared for delay. They came prepared for a long night of waiting. The injunction then, keep awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour. I think what the question that this turns back on us, and as you know, the poignancy of a parable is when we suddenly find ourselves caught in the action and the rug's pulled out from under us. The place where this turns on us, I think, is here where it says, keep awake as those who sleep with provisions at their side. The flask of oil, I think, is the key to the parable. What is it for us that is the provision that we need? To wait. Not wait like the wicked servants, not wait like the foolish bridesmaids, but to wait as those who come prepared. As you say your prayers in the next few days, consider that image. The flasks, the sleeping bridesmaids with the flasks of oil. What are the provisions you need? What's the flask of oil at your side that you need in order to wait vigilantly, to sleep vigilantly, as those who are ready to settle in for the long night and await the reconciliation, the coming, the wedding feast when the bridegroom returns to the bridesmaids? Amen.